Wait a minute. They're going to end a life, my Evo, before my 2-year contract's up? Those bastards.
Yes. So, ready to go?
Let's do this thing.
Why don't you bring us in?
All right. That time of week again. It is episode 54 of the Android Buffet. I am Jerry. I am your co-host. I am joined, as usual, by my intrepid and enigmatic co-host, Guru. How are you this day, Guru?
I am mellow.
That's kind of the story of our podcast, right?
Well, I am. You said Guru twice. You know, otherwise, I could have claimed to be your special guest host, somebody else.
And that would be who?
Whoever I want it to be.
Well, you know, part of anonymity does bring that you can pretend to be whoever you want.
Yes, but, you know, that would really destroy my case with Google.
I don't think you have a case.
No, probably not. But, you know, I was told that they would respond promptly within 24 hours. It's been 8 days. Excuse me, more than 8 days now. It's the Friday before last. So it is actually coming on 10 days. Although I suppose, you know, business days versus weekends, but either way, it's been over a week and I have not heard a word from them.
I'm sorry.
Yes. So you think if they're going to tell me no, they could at least do so promptly. But, you know, in the meanwhile, they've launched a new program, which is they want you to stage an email intervention with your loved ones.
I know not of that which you speak.
Oh, they launched this video, which I sent you a link to. So apparently they want you to have your loved ones switch to Gmail, and you can send them this whole thing, so that's this new marketing campaign, stage an email intervention. Your loved ones are counting on you.
What bad things happen if they don't switch to email?
To Gmail? They have to live with old-fashioned email, where they can't do all the things that Gmail can do.
Oh. Okay.
Let's see what else is new this week. Capital One released an Android app. Yay.
Yeah, pretty much.
Well, I decided that in the theme of talking about Capital One, whose theme is What's in Your Wallet, that I would talk about some financial apps. We'll get to
cool.
those.
Cool.
Ones that didn't require you to spend any money. Always good.
It's because nowadays you only have 15 minutes to make a decision.
I do?
Yeah, as opposed to the old 24-hour refund for apps.
Oh, that decision. Okay.
Yeah, I'm still not happy about it.
I don't think anybody's happy about it except the people who insisted on it. But there are some good free apps that were updated. Gmail was updated. Now offers performance improvements, separate notifications for various labels, and you can sync only your priority mail.
Yay.
Okay. Uber Music was released into the market. That's from the same creator who was responsible for Launcher Pro. And if you look at it, it is a very nice music app.
Is it?
Yes.
What makes it nice? Does it have really big buttons?
It is visually appealing.
Oh, it's got that whole Metro UI thing going on, so it's looks like they designed it for Windows Phone 7.
I think there was an inspiration there. I think it was somewhat inspired by certain alternative operating systems, but it is skinnable, and it looks very good. I happen to like that guy, and I'm waiting for the update to Launcher Pro. GoGo InFlight Internet has announced that it will be launching an app soon. So if you're on a plane, you have your Android phone, you can much more easily negotiate paying the money. Always good. If you want to negotiate paying people money. The Poetry Foundation launched a free poetry app. So if you like poetry, check it out.
Or if you're trying to get laid.
What does getting laid have to do with poetry?
You know, woo the women.
Okay.
I hear women like poetry.
I'll quote some poetry, so if any women are listening, they can be appropriately
Lude.
Excited. Two roads diverged in a
okay,
wood and
carrying on.
I took the one less traveled by, and that has made all the difference.
No, it's romantic poetry you should quote, silly.
What's wrong with Frost?
There's nothing wrong with Frost, but it doesn't exactly... You're trying to heat a woman up and you're quoting them Frost?
Would you rather I quote a Shakespearean sonnet?
As long as it's not a tragedy.
When in despair with fortune and in men's eyes, I all alone beweep my outcast state. No. Anyway, no comment on that?
I'm commentless.
Okay, I guess I should give up on poetry. Maybe I should just stick to...
It's just not my thing.
Maybe I should just stick to reciting oldies.
It's not my bag, baby.
Let's see. From the people at XDA Developers comes Browser to Phone, which is an enhanced version of Chrome to Phone that somebody came out with, where you can download files, convert files, add ringtones, and more.
Sounds quite useful. Have you tried it?
No, I am going to reserve judgment until I have. Google Authenticator is updated. Another thing that I've been meaning to try to see how inconvenient it is, it supports an updated countdown timer. Google Maps was updated. It adds new features to Places, including photo upload, and to most people's annoyance, it appears to have lost the ability to navigate to your contacts. Hopefully they'll put that back in the next version.
How annoying.
Dolphin Pad is being released as the next big Android tablet browser from the people who brought you Dolphin HD and Dolphin Mini.
Cool. I can see that.
Onkyo is launching a remote app soon that will allow you to control your Onkyo network-ready receiver from your phone. ZocDoc, a service to book doctor's appointments, now has a free app. See, I've never heard of this. I did not know you could book a doctor's appointment from an app, or that there was a service that handled your doctor. Probably because my doctor probably is not, let's say, hip enough to get involved in such a service.
I'm going to have to... Okay, where's my little... That's going to go on my to-do checkout thing, because would be awesome.
Is your doctor involved enough? I just finished...
There are a whole bunch of computers in the office.
Well, I just finished paying off my doctor for my last visit in December.
Goodness.
Yes, I can't figure out why it takes 7 months to pay him $9.99. He claims it's the billing people. The billing people claim it's the insurance company. The insurance company claims it's the billing people.
Oh.
Yeah.
It won't work here for me. It says it's only available in New York, Washington, D.C., San Francisco, Dallas, Los Angeles, Chicago, Houston, Philadelphia, and Atlanta.
Maybe I should use it to find a new doctor, one who has better billing people.
You know, it's not always the doctor.
No, it's his billing people. I have nothing against him.
Medical, well, we've had this conversation, haven't we?
Yes, we have.
Okay, carrying on.
I'm still mad at him.
You seem to be in a hurry.
I'm not in a hurry.
You seem to be in a hurry.
I'm not. It's later than normal.
I try and start a conversation about an application or a news piece. You just carry right on going, and that's fine.
I didn't think I was rushing. I'll slow down.
No, you don't have to slow down. You need to hurry it up. It's late. I got to go to bed. It's damn near midnight.
Okay, maybe I should talk like that guy who used to advertise micro machines.
Well, if you can, I say go for it. I tried.
Extra points for getting the reference, though.
Well, I'm older than you, so.
Yes, I know.
So I would get a mini machines reference. I'm micro surprised machines. You do.
Micro machines.
I'm surprised you do.
Okay. I'm very culturally literate. QuickBooks Mobile.
I never would have expected that cultural literacy would have included micro machines.
Well, how about
let's go for it.
How about fact that the same actor played the recurring role of a teacher on Saved by the Bell?
See, now that's Saved by the Bell is too new. I don't do Saved by the Bell.
Sort of not that good a show anyway. Anyway, QuickBooks Mobile was released. If you have a subscription and you are a QuickBooks user, you can use their mobile app now.
Did you know that QuickBooks does plugins?
I would assume so. I don't know. I'm actually not a QuickBooks user.
Apparently, it's a huge industry.
Well, it is, because bookkeeping is a huge thing. And a lot of people like an easy system with which to use to go and keep track of their finances. Which actually moves me to the next thing on my list. I went and put together some free finance apps. And the first one on my list happens to also be an Intuit product called Mint. Have you ever used Mint, Jerry?
I have, but then they went through and restructured how they communicate with banks, and I started getting double accounts and accounts that wouldn't update, and it was just a huge pain, so I stopped. And if you stopped, when their website goes out of whack, you know, with your actual finances, then the app becomes useless. But there was a time when I did use Mint and their app, and it was handy.
Well, I've had a time when some of my accounts haven't updated, and I've found ways to fix it. So I am still using Mint. Although there is one continual complaint I saw in the comments that I think is a legitimate one.
Mm-hmm.
You can't enter cash transactions in the Mint mobile app, which would be very useful.
You can't enter them on the website either. Mint does not have a concept of cash.
I still think that it would be useful for the app, and I think it was a useful comment. So I'm on the go, and I'm paying in cash, and I should be able to make a note of it.
But Mint doesn't care about cash. It only cares about your bank accounts.
It's my money. I should be able to say where it's coming from.
Okay, and I understand that. All I'm saying is that Mint only cares about your bank accounts. And it cares about the electronic accounts that exist in other organizations. Cash doesn't count there. So they don't. It's not something that they...
Well, I don't like cash that much, but it comes in handy sometimes.
They don't handle Bitcoins either.
Well, I'm sorry. I excluded the free Bitcoin wallet because it had too many buggy comments on it. Speaking of too many, I'm not going to include any bank apps because everybody has a different bank. There's really not much point in going through the dozens of free bank apps that there are out there for every single bank under the sun.
Yeah. I would be suspicious of a bank app anyway, unless you got a link to it from the bank's website.
Well, as long as they support it. I've just recently decided to switch banks.
Well, I mean, anybody could put up an app that says Bank of America.
Yes, but there is an official app, and there are ways to test it by going to the site and seeing if they link back. At least, again, that's an assumption. But if you are concerned about that, there's always, of course, the official PayPal app, and it now lets you deposit checks.
Oh, okay. The PayPal app used to be awesome. And when I say that, it's because you could register your mobile app number, and then you could log in with a PIN. Well, they made some sort of update where logging in with your PIN only works half the time, tops. And when you log in with the PIN and it doesn't work, it looks like you logged in, but your balance is empty and nothing works. It's just, so I had to uninstall it.
Yes. How about Square?
I'm not a Square user, although I understand you are.
Oh, I've used it twice. Unfortunately, Kevin McLaughlin never showed up, even though he asked me to bring my Square reader in South Carolina, so I didn't get to try it a third time. But should anybody be attending an event and wants to pay me money, I'll be sure to bring it along. And because you never know when you might want to involve yourself in the stock market, I picked the free Google Finance app. There are other stock tickers, but it's free, it's Google, it's simple, and if you want to keep track of things, it's useful. And finally, of course, one last essential finance app, the Tip Calculator. Because you never know when you might be splitting up the check amongst 15 different people and need to figure out what everybody's paying.
Okie dokie.
Moving along, if you're following along, Jerry, on the list of links I sent you, here is the link to the Save Your Friends from Outdated Email, Help Them Switch to Gmail, so you can send your friends and loved ones customized little message encouraging them to be saved from outdated email. And since I've been overly concerned about the issues with Google lately, I included something from the people at Backupify.
Yeah?
What to do when Google deletes 7 years of your life.
Namely, ouch.
Yeah. Namely, you should be backing up.
You know, I have a story to tell, if you're interested in hearing it.
I love to hear your stories, Jerry.
Okay, so last week, about Wednesday, one of the projects that I was working on for work stopped working. And it stopped working in a really weird way. So I blamed it on the last developer to commit code. But when I backed out their changes, it still didn't work. And I went back to some known good code, and it still wasn't working. So continue troubleshooting, and I find out that there's a corrupt file on my hard drive. My wonderful 260 gig solid state drive. I love that drive. But corrupt file on it, so I go to fix it. And before I can get it fixed, meaning, you know, do the check disk and restore busted files, etc., drive fails. Just gone. So I had to go out and buy another hard drive to replace it and repave my system. And the things that made installing or getting back up and running really quickly, LastPass, Xmarks, and Gmail.
All three of which I use, by the way.
I don't like to use the same password on more than one website. So LastPass, I mean, considering the innumerable websites that want passwords, LastPass was invaluable. And the keys to all the stuff I use, you know, they send those keys out via email to my Gmail account, so Gmail has my stuff.
But should you put all your eggs in one basket?
You know, that's what I'm thinking about now that you bring it up. Could I be getting ready to hose myself?
Well, you might.
Because I did use Gmail as a backup source. That's true. That's a fact. That's, yes.
And I like to keep things in multiple places, just because, at the very least, two. Because, you know, as this demonstrates and as my continual issues with the people at Google lately demonstrate, if I had a problem, Google would not necessarily solve it quickly. So I have to be prepared for the possibility that one day Google may not be serving me the way I wish them to. So I'm not saying that I want to abandon Google. I'm very fond of Google, but I'm saying I should not, again, trust all of my data to one company. I should have other copies of it. And I sort Backupify is certainly an option. If you're familiar with them, they offer a free account. And because I'm grandfathered in under their old free account, I get a little more. But at the very least, they'll allow you to back up one Gmail account to them. And I think a couple of social networking accounts. Or you can give them a couple dollars a year and they'll back up more. Beyond that, there are ways, since Gmail does support IMAP and POP3, you could download the entire email archive and back it up somewhere else, which is on my list of things to do. Just download my... There's actually an app that I learned it from the next site on the list, iamnotaproduct.org.
Yes, you are.
Well, I decided this was launched by somebody I know in regards to recent Google issues. Mm-hmm. It wasn't launched as a protest site by me. So I put in there very specifically, had nothing to do with it, but they asked if I was willing to write what I was feeling on the subject, and I was feeling a little pissed last week. You talked to me.
Right.
Yeah, so I wrote a little article there.
Excellent.
So
I'm going to have to read that article. Are you including a link to the to your article?
Well, the person who started the site has not added anything since I wrote that article and put it up. They were going to put up, essentially, the site was launched with the idea you wouldn't invest only in one company with your money, nor should you trust all of your personal information and data to any one company. So it sounded like a good idea, and I was hoping for more articles. I have to ask the person responsible whether or not they're going to put up more.
Did your comment start, "I'd like to thank our host for giving me the chance to say my piece"?
Yes.
Then your comment is up. Why anonymity is important to me.
Yes, I wrote a little essay.
I'm going to give you that. Well, you can grab it from right now. You're top of the line on that blog.
I know.
And it's quite a piece you wrote.
I spent some time on it. As I said, I was very emotional at the time. And, you know, I'm sort of into week two, which is I'm still annoyed about it, but I'm starting to cope with the fact that Google isn't necessarily interested in responding to my thought.
Yes, but I have a question. Who calls you GWG? Really?
Who?
Who calls you GWG?
The people on IRC and in the Category 5 chat room. Why?
Okay.
They got tired. They got tired of typing out Gadget Wisdom Guru.
Alrighty.
I've gone by many nicknames over the years. At one point, I used the pseudonym Johann Ziesel.
Why?
I wanted to be different.
You are certainly that.
Yes. Maybe I should use that one. It's a name. Or are they going to ask me to put it on a driver's license?
Probably not. I don't think they would even question such a name.
That's why I think the whole policy makes no sense to me. But, or maybe I should take the suggestion that somebody said. I can be George Guru. Or George W. Guru.
Or you could just be, you know, Andy Isaacson.
Who's he?
You know, you. You could use your real name.
My name's and Andy Isaacson. Okay, I'll be Andy Isaacson. He sounds like
I know Andy Isaacs. It's not your real name. But the point is, you could use your real name.
And how about Andy Royd?
One of your pseudonyms is Guru so that people could find you there.
How about Andy Royd? No.
I got no sympathy for you, man. I'm sorry.
Okay. Users are essentially complaining that Android passwords are stored in plain text in an SQLite database, to which Android developers have responded that it's as secure as anything else. But since so many people are upset about it, they will continue to think if there's a better way to do it.
Well, the thing is that access to the...
Jerry? Jerry? Oh, Jerry. I seem to have lost Jerry. It's not me, it's him. I'll wait.
Stupid Skype.
Yes, we are now back.
At what point, I went off on a rant for a little while, but...
Yeah, you were just about to start your rant when we lost you.
What was my rant about?
Let's see, I was talking to you about putting all your eggs in one basket, and then there was the discussion of IamNotAProduct.org.
Mm-hmm.
And then we moved on to, Android passwords stored in plain text in SQLite databases.
Okay, did you hear the part where I said, unless you're rooted, apps can only access...
No, that was actually where we lost you.
Okay, so unless you're rooted, an application can only access its data folder. No other apps can access its data folder. So if that is secure... do you need to encrypt it? I mean, if I put the notebook in a safe, do I have to encode the notebook that's in the safe? Now, granted, if it's super secret and really important, it's not a bad idea. But if somebody, I mean, just saying, it's not as big a deal as people are making it out to be.
I will agree. So let's move on to a little platform news. Are high return rates spoiling Android sales? Some handsets are being returned at an excessively high rate. Of course, the same organization claimed that the Droid 2 had the lowest return rate on Verizon. And this is the phone I nearly threw through a window. I assume that was the Droid 2 Global. Sorry, probably a little inaccurate. But, again, what do you think about that, Jerry? Do you feel that Androids have higher than normal return rates?
Maybe, but not the return rates that this article is claiming. 50%? Come on.
I agree with you. That seems excessively high. Maybe we should take issue with the people at Fandroid. Maybe I should return my Fandroid cup that they gave me for free.
Well, okay. I'm sure that there are some Android phones out there that just suck.
Droid 2 Global?
Well, I have some of the... I mean, especially like on the prepaid markets. Metro PCS is one that's around here. And their
Androids
are just, I mean, they're atrocious. I can understand why people that try them don't want them, because they're bad. But the HTC Evo having a return rate of 30 or 40%, I don't think so.
Everybody I know who has an Evo loves it.
I certainly do. I mean,
all
I know that...
All two of you.
I know they had some... manufacturing quality issues at the very beginning with some light seeping out of the bottom, but geez, unless you're Steve Jobs, that's not a reason to return it. But anyway, I think that Android probably does have higher return rates than, say, an iPhone.
Well, with an iPhone, you have an iPhone. Isn't that their commercial? If you don't have an iPhone, you don't have an iPhone.
Well,
which I think
even
is an
though I am an Android fan, I do have the impression, and I believe, that iPhones do carry a higher build quality and provide a smoother user experience for less technically inclined.
And soon they'll be manufactured by robots.
Which will probably make the quality even higher.
I just still find that interesting.
What?
The fact that Foxconn is firing or planning to fire a percentage of its staff in favor of robots.
Well, yeah. Makes sense to me.
Well, I find Foxconn very interesting as a company. And I say this because they're the ones who created my recording computer.
One of my favorite shows is How It's Made. And it amazes me how much stuff is made with human interaction. That there's a person there sewing stuff together or pushing part A onto part B. It just amazes me.
Okay. Moving on, Oracle apparently deleted a blog post pointing to Sun's approval of Java and Android. Which really doesn't help their case. Because even if they did it for other reasons, it now looks bad. But that's Oracle. They always seem to look bad successfully. Exactly. That's why it's sort of pointless. But Oracle is relatively good at looking bad, at least of late. Developers are apparently fuming over missing app comments as Android changes its comment system to be more social.
Yeah, but they're looking into it.
Yeah, but it's interesting because I'm seeing, instead of seeing the latest comments, I'm seeing comments out of date order. If you're going to say that there's a social option, I'd like to at least see them in date order as an option I could set. If there is such a way of changing it, I haven't seen it.
I would like to be able to tell it, show me all the one-star reviews or the four-star reviews. Yeah,
I want them to take a page from Amazon where they offer you the latest reviews, the most popular reviews, the most relevant reviews, all the reviews at a certain star level.
The ability for the manufacturer or developer to respond to reviews.
I love that about Newegg, actually.
Yeah.
They do that very well. Moving along in the platform news of the day, AT&T is going to throttle the top 5% of mobile users.
That would probably be me if I was on AT&T.
Thankfully, none of us are on AT&T. Mobile internet cost, I put an infographic around the world. Guess who's last? Or guess who has the highest mobile internet cost in the world?
One of the richest countries in the world?
I was going to go with USA. USA. U.S. Yes, I believe the lowest...
Well, I mean, it kind of makes sense, right?
Yeah, some of the lowest include Japan, Korea, Sweden. Why are those Swedish people always lording things over us? Them with their inexpensive furniture.
Oh, whoa, this is mobile internet cost.
Yes.
Oh, okay, yeah, we suck.
Yeah. And if you are concerned about the amount of bandwidth you're using, Google is launching a new service called PageSpeed. So they take over your DNS, redirect your site through their servers, and compress it. So yet another way you can have Google not only take over the ads on your site, which in most cases they're responsible for, but they can take over the whole site.
Yeah.
I don't think I trust Google to that degree. That's more of putting too many of my eggs in one basket.
I've read a lot of reports on this that show that just as often as it speeds up a site, it slows it down.
Yeah, which is why I don't quite
understand. Of course, let's be honest, the people that are looking into this service now that it started are the people who already care about the speed of their site. So they have already optimized their site. So running it through Google just adds an extra layer. Where this would be really useful is for... Excuse me. This would be really useful would be for people who really don't care about their... where the speed is not a priority. And probably for websites like that, that have put no effort into speeding up their pages, the speed up could probably be quite drastic.
I think it's just a gimmick.
No, they actually do some really useful stuff. They take all your JavaScript, combine it into one file, minify it. They do the same thing with your CSS.
But you could do that yourself.
Oh, absolutely. They're not doing anything you can't do yourself, which is why the people that are already looking into the service that care, they're not seeing a whole lot of speed ups because Google isn't adding any magic.
But they're Google. They have plenty of magic.
It's not like there's hidden juju in how HTML gets rendered.
I was sort of being sarcastic about the magic.
Okay.
I know it's hard sometimes with my tendency to be even-toned.
You're mellow.
Yes. But I have another thing that I know is going to raise your ire. Recent Nielsen studies indicate a 39% OS share for Android compared with 28% for iOS, although Apple remains the top device maker. I know this was going to raise your ire because I know how much you dislike the people at Nielsen.
I don't dislike the people at Nielsen. I dislike Nielsen.
Okay. And apparently this survey only had a small percentage of the Nielsen family who are not necessarily a representative subset of society, which I'll agree with you on. And, of course, we come to the story you mentioned earlier, the Sprint Evo 4G. and the rest of Sprint's most popular Android phones of last year are going to hit end of life.
I wouldn't mind them end of lifing it if it would at least make it through my 2-year contract.
How about the 18 months that Google wants to make it through?
It's okay. Apparently, Sprint wants to end of life the HTC Evo in October, which one? They don't plan that far ahead. I mean, that's as far ahead as they plan, really?
Yes.
And I would have preferred them to end of life it after the 2-year contract. I mean, if you're going to force somebody to stay on a contract for a specific device, support the device until the end of the contract.
Well, end of life in this case means that they will cease selling it, is the primary.
I thought that meant that they would stop providing updates for it.
Most likely that, too.
That's the end of life that I'm aware of.
Okay, well, you never know what might happen. But, again, you're up to, what, Android 2.3?
2.3.3.
Okay, well, they're only up to 2.3.5.
And I got an update. I got an update to 2.3.3, and then I got another update.
Yes, I'm at 2.3.4. Mm-hmm. To you, too. But we have one final story for Developer's Corner that I set up for you.
You're such a nice person.
New tools for managing screen sizes, including better support for the 7-inch tablet.
Go ahead. Take it out.
That's it. I was counting on you.
Basically what they're doing.
I was counting on you to do the technical part of it.
This is the link in the show notes is to the Android Developers blog.
Wonderful resource, by the way.
Oh, it is. And it's just how to handle different size screens, the different size buckets that they come in, and what the actual DP stands for.
DPI?
Dots
per inch.
A DP is a unit of measurement.
I thought it was DPI, though.
Well, DPI is a different... you can measure a screen as in... one of the parameters of a screen is resolution, right? And then you have size, and you can combine those and you get DPI. Well, when you're saying how big something is going to be, then you can say make it 15 pixels wide or 30% of the screen wide. You can also do these things called DPs. Make it, 4 DPs wide.
Okay.
Okay.
I'm with you.
All right. Well, apparently you can get much more specific on, previously you basically had these things called buckets. There were extra large screens, there were large screens, there were normal screens, there were small screens. Okay. There were high density screens, there were medium density screens, and there were low density screens. Well, now you can... you can specify for a 480 pixel wide screen, use this layout. For you can be more specific about the sizes. Take your pick.
That's very good.
That's the essence of it.
Yes. So that brings us to one of my favorite parts of the show.
Time to go.
No, we have one more thing to do.
We have feedback.
The traditional airing of grievances.
We have grievances?
I'm sorry, I was making a Seinfeld reference. But anyway, how has your Android week been, Jerry?
I'm wondering if I'm getting into the last 3 weeks of my employment with Andomedia, and I'm surprised it has not occurred to me to look to see if there's a job search application on Ando, or on Android.
I'm sure somebody has one.
But I've had a good time with... I've found a new game.
What's the game?
It's called Grave Defense HD. It was the free app on Amazon. Oh,
have you downloaded today's free app? I hear it's an $8 app.
I looked at it, but I was not very impressed with it. So, no, I'm not a Guitar Hero guy.
Well, I was once at a Guitar Hero event, and I did horribly because I had never played Guitar Hero. So I have to practice in the event that... Southwest Airlines once again challenges JetBlue Airways to a Guitar Hero contest.
I like the Amazon App Store, free app a day thing.
Yes, but it makes you wonder if they're making any money.
Well, the developers or Android or Amazon?
Amazon.
Did you hear Amazon's recent, I mean, they just had their quarterly.
No, I meant, are they making any money off the App Store? Not are they making any money in general. I know they're making money in general. I think the App Store is more a preview for what they have planned next.
I think it'll be tight. They're coming up with tablets, right?
Apparently so.
I believe they will be, the Amazon App Store will be intricately tied.
Yeah, well, I'm still waiting for a Amazon video app.
Oh, that would be sweet. Tie that in with Prime and their and the streaming you get from there.
Exactly. I don't see why they haven't done it already. They're the only service that lets you do Flash on in your browser on the mobile side.
Grave Defense is it's one of those tower defense games.
Okay.
Which I really like. And it's, you know, good graphics, good gameplay, quite entertaining.
I'm in the market for a new podcatcher. Dogcatcher has been acting weird for me lately, so I'm not necessarily abandoning it, but I'm going to try some alternatives. If you remember last week, I was talking about a free Amazon app of the day that I had been holding on to, Pocket Cast, so I'm going to give some alternate ones a try, and there's a 7-day free trial of Beyond Pod, which is Dogcatcher's biggest competitor.
You know, when I was first starting, I tried Beyond Pod and Google Listen. Josh Pollard is a Beyond Pod fan.
I will have to ask his opinion, but I haven't found out whether or not he's abandoning us and moving to the competition.
Why would he do that?
You said he was considering a Windows Phone 7.
Oh, okay. Yeah, Windows. Okay.
What, you thought he was moving to a different Android-themed podcast?
No, I thought he was moving to an I thought you were saying he was moving to an iPhone, and that just
Doesn't seem like him.
No.
But we are still trying to get some additional Android-themed guests. We've had some scheduling issues.
Yes.
Yes, we can't get our. We wanted to have a roundtable, but we couldn't get our roundtable all together at the same time. We'll continue to work on that. We may have to split up our roundtable.
I have to have a couple semicircle tables.
Yes. And we did miss our July Flying Bathtubs episode, so we'll have to make up for it at some point.
Yeah, but nobody listens to it anyway, do they?
150 people, give or take, if I read the stats correctly.
See, I had more people than that at my daughter's birthday party.
Okay. I can tell you how many people I had at my birthday party. It was me and the Hudson News vendor at Philadelphia Airport.
Oh, dude, that's sad.
Yeah, I bought myself a carrot muffin and hummed happy birthday to myself. Well, remember, I wasn't supposed to be in Philadelphia.
I'm all sad now.
Yeah, well, it wasn't one of those big birthdays. It was just one of those ones with a zero at the end. Anyway, I've decided for my next birthday I'm going to have to do something more like what I used to do before I started going to a convention that coincidentally happens to coincide with my birthday.
Mm-hmm.
I'm going to stay home. That's what I used to do on my birthday. Nothing good seems to come from getting older.
Wisdom. Experience.
Yeah, well, I could tell you some depressing birthday stories from my past.
Better toys.
Did I ever tell you about the time that I got into the car accident a day and a half before my birthday?
Yeah.
I'll tell you that story sometime, but I don't want to depress you today. So let's end on a happy note. There will be more episodes of Android Buffet in the future.
We hope.
We hope. And I was going and looking through some potential podcasts also on our friends over at the Tech Podcast Network. I went to see what other Android-themed shows they have.
Yes.
They actually have one called Android Vibe.
Ooh.
It's a video-based show with a single host who talks about Android for a few moments.
Interesting.
Yes.
Did you check him out?
Yes.
And?
Seems interesting. I'm going to have to watch more before I can render a final verdict.
Okie dokie.
Yes. And beyond that, I've decided that I am going to, along with one of the other people, expand the Wenica Media Group empire. We're launching a new site.
Yeah?
Yes. I'll have What's more upon. I don't want to spoil it since it has not yet been launched. I'll have to tell you more about that next week.
Well, what's the area?
We're going to be talking about frugality.
Oh, that's cool.
And personal finance.
Adverse possession?
No.
Oh.
So it would be personal finance and frugality for novices. Because I have a friend who keeps insisting to me that he's frugal.
Mm-hmm.
He's not frugal. He's cheap. There's a difference.
Is there?
Yes.
What's the difference?
Frugal is somebody who likes to get the best value for their money. Cheap is somebody who doesn't like to spend money.
Mm.
So I believe I am frugal. I spend money, but I like to think that I make wise decisions. and that I make my money count. My friend, who I will call Mr. X, who is cheap, does not like to spend money at all, even when it would be in his best interest.
Ah, okay.
So I am going to contribute a few things, and the inelegant investor is going to contribute a few things, and we're going to have a little personal finance site.
Alrighty then.
Yes. I may start and talk about Mint, because I'm very fond of it lately. I know you aren't, and it isn't perfect, but the price is right for the service it provides. Do you know how much Mint costs per month?
Nothing.
I can live with that.
I couldn't.
Yeah, well, there are paid services that do the same thing. Then you can complain. Well, you can still complain. I'm just saying then if you complain, somebody might listen. If you complain to the people at Mint, they may listen, but they're not necessarily motivated to do so. And there'll be more on that in the future.
So you can find me at jerry.jones@gmail.com. And I'm also on...
Are you on Twitter?
You know what? No, I'm not on Twitter anymore.
Are you on Google Plus?
I'm on Google Plus.
Okay. Do you have a short URL?
I don't know. Do I?
Well, you have to make one.
Oh.
Because otherwise you'd have to give us that long profile number explaining where to find you.
How do I make a short URL?
There are a few sites. I think one is gplus.to. Anyway.
Oh.
While he does that, or doesn't do it as the case may be, I will tell you where you can find me. You can find me at Gadget Wisdom on Twitter, where I am still occasionally found. You can go and email the podcast at podcast@androidbuffet.com. You can use the comment form on the website. You can call our voicemail. We haven't had a voicemail in a long time. That's 201-2-WENECA. That's 201-2-WENECA. That's W-E-N-E-C-A. Beyond that, of course, we are a proud member of the Wenica Media Group. Just a bunch of guys who create content for no particular reason, since it's certainly not for profit motive. Although if you'd like to give us massive amounts of money for our talent, we wouldn't complain. If you're interested in contributing to us, you know where to find us. Moving along, we are also a member of the Tech Podcast Network. If it's tech, it's here. Check out their new live channel, where they are going to be working up to streaming, hopefully, including reruns 24 hours a day. We're not a part of that, Jerry. They want video. And I still agree with you that no one wants to see us. We're not that interesting visually.
Okay. So you can do gplus.to/.
They might think it's TWO. So.
Oh, okay. gplus.to/Jerry Jones.
Oh, okay. And you can, if they ever reinstate my account, I'll tell you where you can find it. In the meantime, you can still find me everywhere else. And I'll be watching on Google+, although not commenting because I'm barred from doing that. So if you want me to follow you on Google+, albeit silently and anonymously, send me an email. And that brings us to the end of our program.
Mm-hmm. Bye, folks.
Goodbye, everyone. And this is Guru asking you, what's in your wallet?